Roto-Grinders presents the Daily Fantasy Fix Podcast. Bringing you up to the minute industry news.
Time for me to tell you about the biggest tournament in the history of daily fantasy sports.
Interviews from the biggest names in the industry.
The one and only Kondia. Head Chopper joins us now to talk about this weekend in daily fantasy football. Now on the podcast, Napster Man.
And game analysis to save you time and help you build your bankroll.
Both the salary and the matchup are just too good. If you are not playing him in your head-to-head game, you are just going to lose.
Here is your host, the one and only, Dan Bach.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? Welcome. It is the Roto-Grinders Daily Fantasy Fix here for this Wednesday, December the 31st, and it's all brought to you by our fine friends over at FanDuel.com. So go over there, check them out if you haven't done so already. Lots of great tournaments for you. NFL this weekend, NBA, of course, college football. And I want to thank FanDuel for taking some of the feedback that I gave them yesterday on the show and adding some Wednesday, Thursday dual slate games. I think that really enhances the game format over there. So we thank them, as always, for listening to feedback and reacting when it makes sense to do so. And I think it did in this front, and we thank them so much for that. Again, if you're new to the show, my name is Dan Bach, and today's show is going to take a little bit different format from some of the other stuff that we typically do here. Normally, it's game analysis, some industry news, sometimes interviews, but today it's going to be a DFS year in review. I feel pretty confident to say that 2014 will go down as kind of a landmark year in this industry. So much stuff went on, some expected, some very unexpected. But ultimately, I think the industry moved forward way faster this year than any of us could have expected. And I think that, again, in the history of daily fantasy, if somebody ever writes that book, I think 2014 will be looked at as a turning point for the industry. So we're going to talk a little bit about the highs, the lows, and everything that went on in DFS at Roto Grinders as well. So strap yourself in, enjoy the ride, and kind of reflect a little bit on this year that we had in daily fantasy sports. And we'll start it off in January, where I think it's, hate to start off on a sour note, but it kind of was when FanDuel, you know, initially announced the DFBBC. That was the basketball championship, and it was an online-only tournament, and there was a lot of backlash to that. I think FanDuel heard that loud and clear this year and have already have their Playboy tournament out there available for people to join in. That's going to happen in February. They just announced a Hockey Live final, so I think it's safe to say that the DFBBC, whenever it is announced, will likely be a live final. So you live and you learn. That's one thing that comes from daily fantasy. Everybody's allowed to make mistakes, but it's what you do with from those mistakes that I think people judge from it. And I think based on the feedback we've seen, FanDuel, again, listening to the masses here. But one thing that also took place in January and basically all through NBA season was the rise of a player named McJester, as he was somebody who we'd certainly known a good bit. He's qualified for live finals. But boy, did this guy ever go on one of the most epic heaters we have ever seen, maybe in daily fantasy history. It seemed like he was either winning or cashing in the top 10, 20 in the FanDuel Slam nightly. Also did really well in the DraftKings big championship event that they had. And it really culminated for him for the Star Street Basketball Championship. Now, I was lucky enough to qualify for that one. It's always fun to play and not cover, and not bad myself. I was the second highest finisher not named McJester, which is really the big story, as one of the most dominating performances you'll ever see in a live final format. McJester took down first, second, and third in this field. Absolutely mind-blowing that he was able to do that. Took home three monster checks with him, and you know, just threw a pretty good party afterwards. And it really was the culmination of really one of the best seasons we've ever seen for a daily fantasy player ever, possibly. Now, again, the industry is very new, But anybody who was around back then and definitely could probably agree with that statement. And, you know, he basically proved that he is the best NBA player last year. And he's done pretty damn good this year, too. Maybe not to last year's status, but it's a little bit tougher with the fields like they are. But what an amazing time that was. Shortly after the Star Street Basketball Championship, maybe the first surprise of the year took place, and that was draft day ended up being sold to the entity known as MGT, the company known as MGT, who also owns Fan Throwdown. And this was a pretty big deal here because, you know, draft day was a site that had always pretty much been cutting edge with their technology and really had sharp guys behind it in, you know, Wiggins and KB. And then they brought in, you know, Scott Malwig. So they were always on top of things, but they never quite gained enough traction, I think, to, you know, stay afloat with the big boys. And, you know, draft day, they didn't go anywhere, but it still was kind of sad to see, you know, Taylor and Andrew, you know, not, you know, be in charge anymore. But ultimately, they felt it was in the best interest of them and their investors to make that move. And the thing that was most shocking about it was not that MGT did it. That was actually made a lot of sense. They had some bad press about some policies regarding, you know, taxing and 1099 reporting and so forth that rubbed a lot of people the wrong way early in the year. And for them to go out and buy draft day made a heck of a lot of sense. And, you know, in that same vein, also earlier, similarly around this time, they also went and hired the services of Condia and Lucor to consult for them. Now, that might not have been the wisest thing. I don't know if they yielded much of anything from that relationship, but I can say that getting draft day was definitely a smart move, I think, in terms of trying to change some of their perception, and it was just a much better interface, a much better site than Fan Throwdown. Next little business aspect that kind of took place that really wasn't too surprising, but certainly brought the industry front and center to a demographic that's very interested in playing daily fantasy sports now, and that's DraftKings working a deal with the World Series of Poker. They worked a situation or a partnership where people could win entries into that tournament. I know Draft Cheat won one, CSU Ram won one, I believe Takeover won one. So there was a handful of guys who won their seat into the World Series of Poker over there on DraftKings. And then, of course, they were a big advertising sponsor for the tournament. So you saw their logo all over the place when the broadcast happened. Anybody who was out there in attendance obviously saw the presence of DraftKings. And this shouldn't really be surprising. Obviously, John Aguiar, you know, one of their main people at that site is, you know, a poker background. And they also forged relationships with the World Poker Tour before then. So they've really kind of hit that demographic extremely hard, and it's really paid dividends for them. If you look at the number of people who have transitioned from poker to daily fantasy, it's huge. I mean, just tons and tons of these guys have made that transfer over, and I think DraftKings was smart to kind of do that. And they're also doing this again for this year's World Series of Poker. So I think that was a very smart partnership that we've seen in the daily fantasy space. RG improvements, you know, throughout the year, we added on to our staff. We opened our own office out there in Nashville, and of course, added, Stephen Keach, Mr. SBK, somebody who is behind the scenes a lot, but does a ton of work as our lead editor. Later on in the year, we added, Brian Horrigan, a.k.a. Cruising to Victory, who does an amazing job with our tools. And even later in the year, we added Scott, one of our lead editors as well. So the team continues to grow. And obviously, there's development team that, you know, nobody even knows their names, but they do just a sick job on the site nightly or daily. And moderation team, and basically our site scaled so quickly as well. And one of the things that I was personally really proud of was the addition of producers for our Grinders Live show, and we really changed the look of the show from Google Hangout to really professionally produced shows, which I think hopefully you guys have enjoyed. The feedback's been great, and really proud of that. And this was a big transition for us right around that March-April time, bringing in Amber was her name. She kind of got us off the ground and did a great job with that. Moving on, next thing that also happened is we kind of moved all the way to the April, kind of May time is we also started our very own radio show on SiriusXM Fantasy Sports Radio. Now, we had one for football season weekly, but this was the first time that they have had a daily show that was focused on daily fantasy sports. So all summer long, we were on from 5 to 6, talking all about daily fantasy baseball. It was really an exciting time, and to this day, even it's at the FFFC or wherever, a lot of people come up to me and say, hey, you know what, I heard your show, and you kind of got me hooked on it. And that's a real gratifying thing to hear from people. So that was, again, another kind of proud moment, but I think a huge step for the industry in general that a huge platform like SiriusXM would finally realize the importance of Daily Fantasy, that audience, and giving them a show that was worthwhile. So we thank them so much for the opportunity and continue to look forward to it as we're doing it now, and we'll continue to do it through baseball season as well. The summer was pretty quiet for the most part, and then pretty much everything, it was the slow climb up the roller coaster and then downhill. Now, when I say downhill, it's not like things went negative. It's that everything went really, really, really fast, and there was a ton of action, most of it which was very surprising. And out of nowhere, DraftKings goes out and purchases DraftStreet. The number 2 and 3 sites in the market merged together, and this really kind of came out of nowhere. This developed very, very fast, and DraftKings, you know, looked at it as an opportunity to bring aboard some of the brightest minds they have over there. I don't think they'll ever say it was done to get rid of competition. That would not make a lot of sense to say that publicly. But I don't think for a second that that hurt or wasn't part of the thought process of working that agreement. But for some, it was a sad, sad day. DraftStreet's a site that had really been around from almost the very beginning. That was the site that really got me started and was really unique. You know, it was different with the way their rosters were set up. It was different with their dynamic pricing. And a lot of people were really sad to see it go, as they had the snake drafts, the pick'em formats. And those guys did a lot of innovation in this industry. So, you know, to get to where we are today, I think that, you know, FanDuel and obviously DraftKings have invested a ton of money. But in terms of, you know, building a great game and in being, you know, industry leaders along the way, DraftStreet deserves a ton of credit. They've always handled themselves with the utmost amount of class. And you know what? Those guys, again, they deserve a lot of credit. Again, going back in the history of Daily Fantasy to kind of help get the industry where it was today. They built some amazing partnerships with guys like Matthew Berry and Barstool Sports. And, you know, cultivated a heck of a user base. Ultimately, the company that owned them just, I think, was done with Daily Fantasy. Was I a little surprised that a fellow site bought them out? Yeah, I was. I think that there's a lot of other people, as we've seen, would be interested in coming to market, and I thought it would have been easier just to buy DraftStreet than start from the ground up. I mean, they were already established, but that's not the route that that they went, and DraftKings gave them a heck of an offer, and goodbye DraftStreet. Or excuse me, DraftKings gave them a heck of an offer, and goodbye DraftStreet. So, again, huge change when that took place. Again, 2 and 3 combined together in the industry. Moving on now to late in the summer, and we had the FFFC take place out there in Las Vegas. And this was a huge undertaking for FanDuel. It's the first time that they did not go to Legacy Stadium. They built out their own, basically, viewing stadium out there within the cosmopolitan room, you know, kind of conference rooms, and just did an amazing job. I mean, they really, for people who have never had to do this before, I thought they did an exceptional job putting it together. As always, Vegas is an amazing time, and kind of up in the ante a little bit with their live finals out there in Vegas. And the setup was great. You had the King of the Diamond tournament, you know, party the night before, which was great. But ultimately, the tournament itself, again, live finals without controversy, there aren't too many of them. And this is arguably one of the most bizarre happenings that we've ever seen. And that was the old water main gate where, again, the last game of the slate, the one that was easily the most desirable to roster players, the Reds and the Rockies, ends up being postponed because there was a broken water main, and they couldn't, basically nobody could use the bathrooms. There was no running water available, so they had to cancel the game. And you know, this is one of those moments where you just kind of are like, is this happening? Are you serious? And you know, you really feel bad for a lot of the guys like Loves Bases and Tommy G, who had a legitimate shot at winning $1 million with really good teams that were stacked up with players in that game that weren't able to play. But I will say this much. Through that whole thing, all the finalists handled themselves with amazing class and dignity despite the happenings. Now, maybe they cried in their pillow later that night. Maybe they cussed everyone out behind everyone's back. But in terms of everything breaking at that moment, people could have been a lot more emotional and upset and distressed than they were, but I really want to tip my cap to all the finalists for handling it the right way, because there's nothing you can do. It's just one of those freak occurrences. But the tournament went on, and we had a $1 million winner. His name was Dave Potts, and he goes by Cheese is Good, a guy who's played season-long a good bit competitively, high-dollar, high-stakes leagues, so making the transition to daily and had a lot of success. So congrats to him on winning that $1 million first-place prize. DraftKings also hosted their first-ever live event, and that took place in the Bahamas at the Atlantis Resort. And again, I was beyond impressed with the setup. I mean, Atlantis is a destination that I've been talking about for quite some time for Daily Fantasy, and it pretty much lived up to the billing. I mean, these guys pulled out, spared no expense, and really gave some amazing experiences to players and some of their families who made the trip as well, and ultimately put on you know, a pretty great event from top to bottom. You could not say anything negative about the setup. Obviously, they had a few technical difficulties, but you know, getting the games on. But that stuff's going to happen, especially your first go around. And that's the thing to remember. This is the first live event DraftKings has ever done. So ultimately, on a scale from 1 to 10, you're looking at about 9.5 by the job that they did putting that together. And that obviously ended with not a lot of controversy, but a little bit of drama there as CSU Ram Peter Jennings took down the $1 million first place check out there. And a really great scene, seeing somebody who not only do I have the utmost respect for, but somebody who I've become really good friends with in the industry, somebody who puts in so much time, so much effort, has given back a lot to the community, whether it's on Grinders or the Grinders U or any of the different stuff that he has done. Peter's just a great ambassador from the game, just a great guy all around, and really proud to see him, you know, kind of just culminate a great year over there on DraftKings with a $1 million win. So that was great stuff there at the Bahamas. Okay, next up was we had some major capital raise this year as DraftKings, soon after, right around this time at the Atlantis final, raised $41 million in their Series C. FanDuel also raised an impressive $70 million in their Series D raise, and this basically led to a football season which put Daily Fantasy on the map. And it put it on the map for a lot of reasons, mainly because it raised the stakes with getting your name out there in front of the masses, and FanDuel, DraftKings, everywhere and anywhere, TV commercials, radio commercials, banner ads, they were everywhere this football season, and they brought in a massive, and I mean massive, number of people to the industry. One other site also fell by the wayside this year, and that was Star Street. Soon after their baseball final, their player base was sold to DraftKings. Their rights to the Playboy Mansion were sold to FanDuel. And the writing seems somewhat on the wall for this. Again, another situation I think that was fairly sad to see, considering that they had a lot of positives in the site and the game that they built, but they just didn't feel they could compete with the big boys. And, Jeremy has moved on and working on another game called, Draft, the mobile experience, kind of a one-on-one, like head-to-head snake draft that you can do with friends, kind of like a word with friends for fantasy. And he seems to be on the right track with that. But that was always sad to see. Those Playboy events were just basically like frat parties, to be honest with you. When you're old like me, you don't get to go to frat parties very often. So when you get an invite to one, you're pretty happy to go. So those were always a great time. But sad to see Star Street fall by the wayside. Also, right before football season got rolling, some big news for Roto Grinders as we became the main daily fantasy sports provider for NBC Roto World. This was a huge moment for us at Roto Grinders. I mean, I think that everybody knows the preeminent season long or preeminent fantasy voice is Roto World. And, I think that they looked at us as the preeminent voice in daily. And for us to come together and be able to provide that aspect to their site was a huge accomplishment. From looking from where we came from as maybe a simple affiliate site with a little bit of content to just becoming a full-blown content site, helping people play their games, win their games, and them seeing what we built and being like, yeah, we need to work with these guys. That meant a lot as somebody who's been a part of Roto Grinders for as long as I have. So that was a great moment for us and very excited to be working alongside those guys to this day. And hopefully that relationship continues on. Right around football season, Daily Fantasy started getting a ton more press. And you're always nervous when you get outsiders, quote unquote, talking about something that you love and are passionate about, especially when they might not know the finer points of it. And what I'm talking about is ESPN and HBO Real Sports doing features on DFS. And this was a big deal. You had Darren Rovell, end up going out to Beer Makers fans' house and doing one-on-one interviews with him and showing him the ropes and how to play Daily Fantasy. And it was really fascinating. And I think, again, we were all nervous about it, but ultimately I can say both ESPN and HBO did a very admirable job in terms of telling the story, because I think we all realized that there's, they got to tell the whole side. They're not going to come in and do a fluff piece on Daily Fantasy, and they didn't. But I think for the most part, they were fair, and that's all you can really ask for. So both of those situations, I thought, were really good press for the industry. And again, another big step in, getting us noticed to the masses. So that was great stuff. Also, right around football season, we had some new sites join in. A site like Victiv joined the fray and definitely doing some impressive stuff. Had their big Victiv Bowl at the end of the year. You had a site like Fantasy Aces definitely get more aggressive in terms of their marketing and trying to, find a place in Daily Fantasy Sports. Became a nice sponsor on Grinders Live. And that's great. I think it's smart when you see an opportunity of a couple of sites falling by the wayside and Draft Street and Star Street to say, hey, we're going to make our push. This doesn't need to be an industry where there's only two players in it. And I don't think it has to be. Will it become that? Time will only tell, but Fantasy Aces definitely pushing forward. Announced their live final, which was a very big deal for them, which went off without a hitch from what I could tell from all the people who attended that, and definitely starting to make some noise in the daily fantasy industry. Okay, the football season rolls around and the prize pools start going crazy. FanDuel rolls out the first weekly $1 million prize pool tournament called the Sunday Million, and that tournament would basically increase as the year went on. I think it might have started at $1.5 million or something like that, and we're like, whoa. And by the end of the year, at some point in the year, it was at like $3 million in a payout in a single game. Absolutely incredible. So look for that tournament to continue. I think it's safe to say we could see that as a $5 million guaranteed payout next year fairly easily, in my opinion. FanDuel also ran into some issues week number two, where their site had an outage 30 minutes before roster lock, and that was an ugly moment for FanDuel, but you know what? They seemed to learn from it, and I think looking back at it, they handled things pretty darn well. I think they were pretty darn generous in their resolution to that. And it was a situation where, in the grand scheme of things, it's a blip on the radar. Could have been a lot greater, especially if they didn't fix the problem. They had a few hiccups the next week, but not nearly to the level that they had week two. And things have been rolling fairly smoothly since. So ultimately, it's, you know, rectifying that problem and righting that ship. And that's exactly what FanDuel did. DraftKings, they had their Millionaire Maker tournament. And that really kind of turned a lot of daily fantasy players on to DraftKings. I think it was used as a marketing tool to bring a lot of new people in, and probably was looked at as, you know, hey, we're probably going to lose some money on this, but ultimately it's going to be great. People are going to be excited to play for $1 million. Well, the first one they ran out, it was more than that. They made some money. They filled the tournament early. And I think in that excitement, you know, they said, well, let's run it back. Let's keep on doing it. And that's exactly what they did. And there's some debate whether or not that was the right move, because clearly the tournament lost some of its luster as it went on throughout the year. I think a lot of people realized that, you know, it's a very top-heavy payout, you know, $2.2 million. And over half of that is going to first and second place. So very top heavy. It's hard to maintain profitability in that tournament unless you bink it in the top, you know, 10 to 15, or, you know, certainly the top 50 at some point in time. And that's really difficult to do in that tournament. But it definitely brought in a lot of people to the industry. And, you know, I don't... They were adamant that they wanted to keep running it, and they did. And you know what? They crowned more $1 million winners this year in the industry than anybody for that. So you definitely got to tip your cap to them. FanDuel, a little bit later on in the year, became kind of surprise partners with the NBA. Not so much that they became the daily fantasy game of the NBA, but more that the NBA became a part of FanDuel's investment group in the process. So a professional sports league maintains, I'm supposing, a sizable stake in a daily fantasy sports site. That's something that nobody really expected to happen, and was very interesting that arrangement worked out like it did. We also had DraftKings doing a similar deal, minus the equity side of things, with the NHL, but also became their... preferred daily fantasy site or site of the NHL. We've seen a lot of, we definitely saw a lot of sponsorship within the NFL and different teams with FanDuel and DraftKings. And, you know, those relationships are good for the industry. So I'm sure we'll continue to see a bunch more of those develop as time goes on. Then DraftKings also ran into a situation where they basically had some tech issues as well towards the latter half of the season. And a little bit surprising, because first off, DraftKings runs pretty good. I mean, they've always been a site that hasn't had a whole lot of issues at all. And for them to, you know, encounter stuff, you know, it was a bit surprising. And the thing that was most surprising about this was that happened 2 weeks in a row. Now, I think the first week, some of their correspondence and the way they handled things was a bit cluttered. I don't think the message that they sent to people was particularly clear. And I think maybe they will even agree to that in retrospect, that they should have been more clear on exactly what the resolution was going to be. And I think that was the biggest problem with it. I think we all understand that issues are going to take place. It's just, you got to be clear on things. And I don't necessarily think that they particularly were. Now, I will say this, for DraftKings is, that, you know, they pretty much made good on what they were going to say to, you know, it depends on the way that you interpreted it, especially the second go around. I think they were much more clear the second week it happened, but you had to imagine they were sitting on the edge of their seat praying that this wasn't going to work itself out a third week. And you know what? It hasn't. They seem to clean it up. And that's ultimately great and very, very important. So, you know, people will forget about these outages. Yes, you might have a bad experience, but as long as, for the most part, more times than not, things go right, they handle things right, people are going to come back because there's only so many places to play daily fantasy sports. So that doesn't surprise me that people came back to FanDuel and DraftKings despite some of the issues they took place this year. Okay, my voice is about to die, but we're going to truck on. It's NFL Live Finals as we come to the kind of end of the year here. Both FanDuel and Vegas, you had Scott Hansen end up winning that as Scott, and he took down $2 million behind Jeremy Hill. He was the only man in the 100-person field to take Jeremy Hill, and he went crazy. So congrats to Scott. $2 million, his life will probably never be the same, and seemed like a really nice guy. Got to talk to him a good bit, even before he won that kind of money. Really down to earth. Hey, listener of the podcast, so he's got that going for him. But congrats to him becoming the first to win multiple millions in a tournament over there on FanDuel. And on DraftKings, you had Westbrook for MVP. That duo take down $1 million out there in Atlantis. And those are guys who have been grinding daily fantasy really hard for the last year. Came into the industry, and you took notice of them. I mean, they rose up our rankings maybe faster than anybody ever has. And put in a lot of time, a lot of commitment. And they even acknowledged that football season kind of sucked for them. They needed a big finish to kind of be profitable. And I'd say $1 million definitely, you know, put them in the black. So congrats to them. They're definitely two really down-to-earth guys. The way they handled themselves, again, very classy. Komax Warrior, very close. Nearly got a chance to win that one. But he won't complain with another second place. He's got a handful of those. Think he had that in the baseball final as well on FanDuel. But a great event, again, done by both FanDuel and DraftKings for their football. And then lastly, DraftKings, a little bit surprised, kind of out of nowhere, announces that they're adding MMA to the docket. So I think starting last week and this weekend, they're going to be having some MMA tournaments. It's a game that doesn't really have much of a history from a fantasy standpoint, but they're trying to change that a little bit. I think that it's a smart focus for them, to be honest with you. I don't see a whole lot of drawback for it. Ultimately, I think it will definitely eclipse soccer in terms of interest level, and you know, the demographic is there. Can, you know, they kind of make a fantasy sport out of MMA? We'll see. There's only been one other site that tried to do it, and they're still around, Counter Move, but they kind of specialize in all the mixed martial arts and stuff. So we'll see. Certainly DraftKings going out and putting the effort forward to do that definitely makes a lot of sense as you try to bring new people to your site, people haven't played daily fantasy before, and a lot of MMA fans out there for sure. All right, that is going to do it. You know what? I guarantee you I missed something along the way. I know I missed a lot probably along the way, but that's going to kind of do it for the year in review. My voice is toast, if you can't tell, and it's been an amazing year on the podcast. I was really happy to have Crazy Gaby, you know, come back to Grinders this year and help us out on the pod a couple days a week, and we're not going anywhere. We'll be breaking this sucker out for you just like we always do, 5 days a week, talking about the games, helping you win, and, you know, trying to help you be the, you know, someone be a voice for the industry a little bit. Everybody who, you know, extends compliments to me for that, it means the world. I just try to be objective in what I do, each and every day. And if I can do that, garner the respect of you, the listeners, and be the site owners, my job is success. And to this point, it's been great. Can't wait to continue it again this next year. And who knows, you know, people are already speculating what's going to happen in 2015. You know, is there going to be people jumping into Daily Fantasy? Or is one of the big sites going to be sold to a larger entity? Who knows? Half the stuff that actually 80% of the stuff that took place in 2014, I never would have expected. So for me to even try and project what's going to happen this year, I can't. All I can say is the industry is going to get bigger much faster than it is going to get smaller. So we're going to have a lot more players, a lot bigger prize pools, and it's a great time to be in daily fantasy sports. So that does it for our year in review. Thank you so much for listening today and all year long. Gaby should be with you. I think he's going to do a show on tomorrow. So good for him. And then I'll be back on Friday. And of course, no more breaks for a little while. So that's kind of what's on tap for you. Thank you so much, as always, for subscribing to this podcast. You can find it over there on iTunes, Stitcher. Thanks to FanDuel for their sponsorship. Means the world to me. Head on over there, playing some of their great contests. Sunday Million this weekend, $1.75 million football tournament. So your daily fantasy football not over yet. So we'll talk to you next year from the podcast. For my buddy Crazy Gaby, I'm Dan Bach. Have yourself a happy new year, safe new year, and we will see you.